Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Lucas is our broadcast engineer. Brian is our executive producer. Good guest list today. Travis Ford, 10:30. Martin Kilcoyne will be in studio at 11. And at 11:20, one of our favorites, Lester Munson from ESPN, to talk about Robert Kraft and the legal issues. I wonder, what would you guys put the odds that Robert Kraft will be in an orange jumpsuit, even if it's for a period of 30 days?
Zero.
Lucas?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. I don't think there's any chance.
I'll say 2%. Just to be different. But yeah, there's no way. So much to discuss. By the way, on the weather today, so it's done icing and everything's going to be okay from here on out.
Well, it's kind of, something's coming down now. I don't know what it is.
Looks like sleet.
Yeah. So it, right? There's still a little bit.
Oh, you're right. It is starting to come down. It wasn't 5 minutes ago.
I think maybe this afternoon, hopefully, it'll all be done. I'm tired of this.
Oh, I know.
I'm about done. I've reached my capacity for winter weather now.
Yeah. Monique and I have always said we would never, ever, like, go to Florida, you know, for, like, you know, for when you retire and stuff. And she said to me the other night, she goes, would you rethink that? I don't think I may. I think I may. All right, let's get going. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. Go to Gateway MSP, get the season tickets, and find out all the wonderful things they're doing. Lap one. I just want to begin by saying this. John Mozeliak caught some heat yesterday because he didn't appreciate my observation of Marcell Ozuna's fitness level or lack of. It sounded like this.
How about the Marcell Ozuna situation, not able to throw the ball, and I'm not sure about his fitness at this point. How do you see his offseason and what you're seeing right now in Jupiter?
Well, I'm not sure why you stated the fitness part, but I feel like he's in good shape. I feel like his throwing program is progressing the way we would like to see it.
Okay, so it wasn't a nasty question. It wasn't a nasty response, but people really got on Mo a little bit and, you know, then started trashing Ozuna a little bit. However, Mo's just a little different. He's not a mean guy or a jerk at all. I can 100% assure you of that. I'm not a fan of the scarf or the sweater around the waist, and many people aren't, but he's very accessible for a prominent sports executive. He's pretty candid, too. And, you know, last year, let's face it, he put some of these guys on notice. And even with, you know, Dexter Fowler, maybe it wasn't the smartest moves, but what we want out of an interviewee is, you know, candor and honesty. And he does do that a lot for a sports executive. And although some may not want to admit it in this town, the guy's been very successful. Now, in an offseason where they were playoffless again, they got the thumper they needed in a guy who can finish games also. I'm not saying there's not legitimate criticism of some of Mo's moves, Mike Leake, Brett Cecil so far, Dexter Fowler last year, but his good moves outweigh his bad moves. Miles Michaelis turned out okay. All that young pitching in the organization that they loaded up with, those moves in 2011 that helped to bring our town a world championship, Carlos Beltran after Albert, the Matt Holliday extension. So, there was a lot of snarkiness on Twitter. Imagine that. And I just wanted to begin, you know, by saying that overall body of work for John Mozeliak, pretty good, not perfect. Overall, as a guy, pretty good. And like all of us, not perfect. All right, lap two. The Blues. So there's a lot of really impressive things. The 19-5-2 run, a record tying 12 wins in a month. And in a place where they once struggled, the Enterprise Center, they now have their longest win streak at 7 in 17 years. And there's more. Today at practice at the Mills, 10:30, Braden Schenn, David Perron, and Alexander Steen will be out there. There's a chance that all three could play Friday. And you got to remember, too, people forget this. Perron was technically your second-best offensive player when he got injured. Yeah, only Ryan O'Reilly was playing better than David Perron when he got injured. And Schenn, well, you know what this guy is. He's just a gamer. He was your best player last year. And Steen can help, too. They're all coming back. Doug Armstrong was on the program Tuesday, and you can tell he kind of likes his roster.
We really believe this group has earned the right to stay together, and we're just in the infancy of our next window, and we didn't want to stagnate the growth of a Robbie Thomas or of a Sundquist or of a Barbashev, Sanford, players like that. So we weren't really looking to add a rental player that would be here for, just till the end of this season. So we weren't overly involved in much else.
Think about it, too. Almost all the Blues' best players are under 30. And a lot of them are signed for a while. So, although you haven't done anything yet and you're, you know, in third place, there's a lot to be optimistic about now and in the future. And, of course, it all comes back to the goaltender. Is this an aberration or is this guy going to be this good for a long time? All right, lap three. MLS thoughts. I spent some time with Jim Cavanaugh yesterday. Let's go over the information first. The stadium, which was going to cost about $200 million, is now looking like $225 to $275 million. Jim said, have you ever built a house where it actually came in under budget? The price keeps going up, up, and up. The MLS Board of Governors meets in April. The topic will be Expansion Team 28. Jim Cavanaugh and his group not concerned about Team 29. They want to be Team 28. The MLS 4 STL group is concentrating on two things right now. Sponsorship, the one on the jersey and the one on the front of the stadium. That's big. And the stadium design. Jim has personally been to 7 MLS stadiums around the country, and they're taking a little bit from each. They're trying to make this a great experience inside the stadium. And it will seat 24,000 people. 24,000 people. They view Sacramento as the stiffest competition. He just feels they're in a good place right now. Now, it's not going quite as quickly in all aspects, either from, you know, the sponsorship and from the MLS response. But that's the way it is. Remember, the goal is the spring of 2022 for the new team in St. Louis to begin playing. And he was very encouraged by what the commissioner said to USA Today yesterday about how he loves these, you know, geography rivalries with a St. Louis and a Kansas City. And then right before we were leaving, I said, Jim, if you didn't love soccer so much, would you be involved with this? Is this a good investment of money, Jim? And he said, no and no. I've heard that the Taylor family, and God bless them, thinks that this is not, you know, the best use of their money. But it is the best thing for St. Louis. I think there's a percentage of people who think, oh, these rich, greedy owners. Believe me, if Jim Cavanaugh's object in life was to make the most money, he would buy Amazon stock and he would buy Netflix stock. He would not throw a bunch of his own money into a soccer project that may not actually happen. And if it does, he has to make sure they're a decent enough team every year to fill the building. One other thought. Your support of the USL team, which is a good one, is instrumental. St. Louis FC opens up play March 9th at 1 o'clock at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park. Thoughts on the MLS in St. Louis? Give us a call. All right, left four. Isaac Bruce. A great St. Louisan who actually doesn't live in St. Louis. The Florida native doesn't stop giving. He comes in yesterday with the help of the Buddy Fund and the NFL, and they give a check to Gateway STEM High School. It's the old Southwest High School off McCree. I think that's Howard Richards. Or is it the old O'Fallon Tech? God, I'm not sure. I'm not positive. And now Jason Dulac, the fine head coach of the Jaguars team and the former great player at St. Louis University High School and Illinois, can really make his weight room beautiful. The one they have now is like the one that Rocky Balboa had to train in Rocky III, very dungeon-esque. These kids deserve better. They will get a new rubber floor. They'll get new weights, new squat racks. And as Jason said yesterday, it just gives them a chance to succeed. You know, when you walk into a dungeon, your motivation probably is not great. But if you walk into a new place with gleaming machines and new equipment, yeah, you'll want to be in that place more often. So great work by Isaac and the Buddy Fund and the NFL for helping out. Isaac has a particular allegiance with Gateway STEM because he holds his football clinics and camps there every summer for free to the kids. Isaac did say the Super Bowl in Miami next year is also ideal to make the Hall of Fame. Now, he admitted he thought Atlanta would have been a great story, too, where he won his Super Bowl. But he says, this time I won't even have to get on a plane. He'll get in. And by the way, I did ask Isaac my chances of being in his speech, and he said slim and none.
Aww.
Yeah. I appreciate his honesty, though. All right, lap five. We're getting closer and closer to the combine, and it will be the most anticipated measurement of all time. We discussed this yesterday. Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner with the cannon arm and the diminutive frame. The Cardinals say they're now committed to Josh Rosen. There was some talk that they would trade Rosen and pick him number one. But what if Kyler Murray measures in at 6 feet? He won't.
He didn't.
He measured this morning, 5'10 and 1/8.
5'10.
And 1/8, yeah. Even Lucas is saying, are you questioning the measurement?
Yeah.
You don't think he's 5'10?
I watched some of his baseball highlight videos, and he looked shorter than most baseball players he was going up against.
Like he did it in high heels.
Yeah. So that just happened this morning, huh?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Breaking news. How about that? So John Elway, who passed on Russell Wilson so he could draft the immortal Brock Osweiler, how'd that work out, had some interesting comments about Murray.
I will say this, having played the position, when you're shorter and you're in shotgun, it doesn't have nearly the effect because you see much better out of shotgun. So if you're in shotgun and you're starting in shotgun and that's the only place you've ever been, you can see the field much better from shotgun. So really the height in shotgun doesn't matter nearly as much as it does if you're coming out from underneath the center all the time, because by the time you get back there, the pocket a lot of times caving on you, so that's where height does matter a little bit more. But if you're playing in shotgun every down like a lot of these guys, then the height to me does not have nearly the impact that it normally would if you're coming out from underneath. Like I said, coming out from underneath the center is, it's tougher to see coming out. And so when shotgun puts you back there, you can see a lot more. Those guys are popping up and they're a lot farther away from you, so they don't block your view nearly as much being in shotgun. So I think that's one of the answers, and so, yeah.
Huh. Brian, I'm seeing this is going crazy on Twitter, Kyler Murray's height measurement. Is anybody, saying, well, that's better than we thought, or is anybody saying that's worse than we thought? What did they list him at? Did they list him at 5'11 last year? Did they list him at, in fact, you check that, Lucas, what he was listed at Oklahoma last year as the starting quarterback and the eventual Heisman Trophy winner for the Sooners. Let's see.
Bruce Feldman says, of I think it's Fox Sports, formerly of CBS Sports, also the Athletic. He came in bigger, probably about 15 pounds heavier, and taller. Most thought about 5'9".
Okay.
He was listed at Oklahoma at 5'10", 195, and I think he weighed 207 at the combine today.
And then his hand size will come in at over 9.5. No, it's his hand size is 9.5 inches. There isn't a quarterback in the NFL who has a hand under 9 inches. All right. All right. Doug Flutie, who's the best comparison to Murray, never really became a consistent starter, and he's about the same size. Flutie had an arm, too. But the shotgun wasn't vogue then. So if you're a team and you're going to draft him and build your offense around him, you just run the shotgun. In terms of Drew Lock, the quarterback we're most interested in the NFL draft, Terrell Davis, the Hall of Famer, the former Bronco great, now with NFL Network, had these thoughts on Drew.
You got to find that quarterback. John has to find that quarterback, and Locke could be that quarterback. So I would go ahead and give me a quarterback in this draft, have Flacco, maybe 1 year. And we saw what happened last year, right? Lamar Jackson beat Flacco out, end up starting. Maybe Flacco's a starter 1 year, and then Locke comes in, and he's your starting quarterback.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting if Joe Flacco loses his job in back-to-back years to first-round draft choices? Wow. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Fletcher's in Belleville, really tasty steak. Hickory oven, you can taste some of that in the filet and in the strip steak. We ate so much yesterday, I had to pull over and take a nap after the shoot. It's really good. If you get a chance and you're in Belleville, very affordable too, Fletcher's. Can I say this too? There are witty baseball players out there, and then there's John Brebbia. Our executive producer, Andy Moeller, is working on our hour-long Cardinal special. Keep in mind, we did 28 interviews, and he said, half-jokingly, I'm thinking of just making the second half hour all sound bites of John Brebbia. He doesn't say anything that's not interesting. NBA, you know what's really amazing to me? The Celtics. Yes, the Boston Celtics. I've said this before, and I don't know if I've ever seen a player quicker off the dribble and more skilled than Kyrie Irving. Maravich was as skilled. Don't know if he was quicker. Earl the Pearl Monroe was really special, too. So is Steph Curry and Allen Iverson. There's a bunch of point guards that are like that. I mean, Nash was unbelievable with the ball. But in terms of, like, just speed and skill with the ball, gosh, who could be faster than Kyrie? He's off the charts. But with that said, why is Boston seemingly a better team when Kyrie's not there? They've lost 4 games in a row now. It's just, I don't know. Because he doesn't, I wouldn't say he's Iverson where he really is a big hog. But boy, their chemistry, everything is better when he's not there. And you know, some are thinking that Brad Stevens may pay the price for this season where they're not, you know, taking the next step. I doubt it. Because the guy making the call on this is Danny Ainge. I don't think, you know, there's a bigger proponent of Brad Stevens than Danny Ainge.
The Celtics are 9-2 this year without Kyrie Irving when he doesn't play.
Wow. Well, do you know what the record is with him?
I mean, just... well, if they're 9-2, so that's 7 games over 500. That means they're only 5 games over 500 with him in the lineup.
Wow. And you watch him, too, because I try to watch him all the time with Jason. They're just not the same. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. The Note, getting healthy and scary. The MLS, coming to town. The graciousness of Isaac Bruce. Best steak you can eat in our town. I'm going to have a couple of suggestions for you in just a little bit. But before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the Bomberito Automotive Group, where Price sells cars. Audi West County, Infiniti West County, Cadillac St. Peter's, Buick West County, GMC West County, Chevrolet South County, Ford Hazelwood, Honda Hazelwood, Toyota Hazelwood, Nissan Hazelwood, Mazda South County, and Volkswagen Hazelwood and St. Peter's. If you get a chance, folks, go to bomberito.com, go through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars, and see if they don't have the right car for you. And Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Billiken head coach, Travis Ford.